wide. You better get off your big behind. I'ma swing in the air to the slaughterhouse this time. I'm never no more casting my pearls before swine.
Everybody, this is Brian Dunaway of Comics Coast to Coast. And I have a line with me. I have Justin Thompson. Justin, how are you doing today?
That means how y'all doing.
All right. Yeah, you've been I'm around here. Japanese people all day, haven't you?
Yeah.
Can I call them Japanese people? Is that the appropriate term?
Yes. That they are? That's okay. Nice. That's a nice term for what they are.
All right. We also have Tom Racine.
Greetings. Greetings. I don't know how to say hello in Japanese, so I won't do it.
I don't either. And today, we have a very special guest, Stefan Pastis, creator of the widely syndicated comic strip Pearls Before Swine. So tell us about yourself, Stefan.
What would you like to know?
We would like to know.
I'm an open book.
You've done what now? To whose books?
I'm an open book.
Oh, you're an open book. All right. Excellent.
Yes, fire away.
All right. Hey, Stefan Pastis, that sounds French. Are you French?
No, I'm Greek.
You're Greek? Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm Greek. It's actually a Greek name, although I know it's a French liqueur, so people often think I'm French.
Very interesting. My mom used to always say, if you can't say something nice, you must be French. I don't know if that's true or not.
I'm half French. I take umbrage.
Are you now? Really? That is too funny. Yeah. And so
the other half is Irish, so it's okay.
Very good.
You drink potato wine.
I do, indeed.
So, Stephen, how long have you been doing Pearls Before Swine?
It started in newspapers in January 2002, so it's been a little over 5 years. But I first created the character of Rat back in law school in 1991. He's been around a while. The strip, about 5 years in papers. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that character most resembles you?
Yes, I think that's right. I think they're all me, but I think I'm definitely Rat.
Yeah, you'd say you're more rat than pig, then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I definitely would agree with that.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. If I could just write for one character the whole time, I think I'd write for rat.
Yeah, I think I'm more cynical, too. I think I'd be much more close akin to rat than I would pig. Now, are you on Pearls Before Swine, did you start that on a webcomic before you got syndicated?
Well, what happened was United signed me back in 99, and they were supposed to put me in papers in 2000, but then I think they got cold feet.
Yeah.
Because they thought it wouldn't sell.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so they decided instead to do something which at the time they hadn't done, which is to put me on the internet and see what happened. So in November of 2000, they put the strip on the internet, and it did okay.
Yeah.
And then it got around 2,000 hits a day.
Oh, very nice.
And then one day, Scott Adams decided to tell the world that he liked the strip.
Oh, very cool.
And I didn't know, I didn't know Scott. I mean, we weren't friends or anything. And he told United he'd be willing to endorse it to all of his fans. So
very cool.
He did that on, I think he did it on Dilbert.com and in his Dogbert newsletter. And the next day I had, I think it was 150,000 hits.
Wow.
Like it literally like 75-fold increase. And so then United, the syndicate, decided to just sort of watch the numbers and see how I did the next few months. And I held a pretty big audience, and they said, okay, we'll commit to putting it in paper. So they told me they would launch it, and they launched it about a year or so later in January 2002.
Well, that is awesome. Did you have a lot more freedom back then, or did you were you still pretty much under the editor's thumb?
You're still under the editor. I mean, when it's United's site, they have to be pretty much as careful as they are in papers, maybe not entirely, but they're still careful. But I mean, I have a fair amount of freedom. Like, they really don't nix very much.
Yeah, I've read your comic. Yeah, they let you do a lot of stuff.
I'm pretty lucky that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was actually going to ask, what kind of example of things that did get nixed? Was there any specific subject matter, or what was their reasoning behind it?
What was one that got nixed recently? Well, most recently, this is kind of a strange example. It didn't get nixed, but they did ask me to change it, and that's pretty rare. I had one where Pig was talking to Britney Spears, who was sitting in a skirt by a tree.
Right.
And in the second panel, Pig finds that can see that she's not wearing panties. And in the third panel, oddly enough, they asked me to just make one change, which is Once Pig finds out she's not wearing panties, he's got to turn around and stop looking. So in the last panel of the strip, he turns around, and originally he kept staring at her. So that was a rare change by them, but yeah, so I did it.
That's funny. Now, Scott Adams, he does his blog, and a lot of times he'll put in his blog things that he couldn't get syndicated.
Yeah, I read that sometimes.
I love that. It's like one of my favorite things. Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
So you got plans for doing that too?
I would. I mean, maybe one day. I mean, it's because I saw he said it takes him like 2 hours every morning. And
really?
Man, right now I just don't have the time. But I would. I think I'd like to do that someday. It's sort of a neat outlet.
It's Pearls Before Swine, the director's cut.
Yeah, the director's cut. I mean, I kind of effectively do it in the Treasury books. In the Treasury books, I write comments below the strip. So.
That's my favorite. I love those.
Yeah, thank you.
So it's great behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I even love the little section in the back of stuff that you shouldn't have said. Yeah, that was even better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The band strip. I'm going to do that again in the next one, too, I think.
That was great. I love that. And I especially love the section where you cut Kathy's head off. And I kept it. That was great.
You know, we have one now where it's a BC parody I did.
Oh yeah,
I did it like 4 months ago, and then he died. So now I don't know what to do. I don't know if it'll look bad or what. So I that may end up in the Treasury book.
Oh yeah, do it. Put it out there. Let's see it.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. Definitely.
I was going to ask now, I mean, that kind of leads into, have you any really good angry letter stories? I mean, you know, somebody getting really upset at the crocodile wanting to eat the zebra, or, you know, messages from PETA or anything like that.
Of them.
There are a lot of zebra lovers out there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but the crocodiles are so stupid, how could they be angry? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. Like, which ones? Off the top of my head, the most recent was one where I named a character Ataturk. It was a spitting llama. He was a diplomat, and to resolve disputes, he spits on people, and I called him Ataturk because I thought it was a funny-sounding name. Well, lo and behold, I mean, I knew he was associated with Turkey, and he had something to do with the founding of Turkey, but I know nothing about Turkish history. Well, I've come to learn that he's absolutely revered, and I guess if you do that in Turkey, they put you in jail if you criticize him, and so I got thousands of these emails, and the coup de grace was the Turkish ambassador to the United States writing to me.
Oh, wow.
Really?
To ask for an apology. And,
wow.
Did you give it?
It was a slow day in the Turkish embassy. Well, what we told them was more or less what I just said, which is I didn't mean anything by it. I didn't know who he was, and I think that made the people that wrote to me equally mad that I wouldn't know who he was. Because they all saw my name and they saw I was Greek and they thought, oh, he's making fun of us because he's Greek. And man, I don't know anything about that region or history.
Oh, that is so funny.
But yeah,
there's
been everything. I mean, I've made a lot of people mad and a lot of different groups mad. And I mean, over time, you learn what the subjects are to avoid if you don't want to get letters.
No doubt.
Or to do more of if you want more letters.
I was going to say, does that hinder you at all, or does it just kind of make you want to go, well, here's another one for you?
You know, it depends. It depends how snarky they are. If they're kind of snooty and snarky, it makes you want to do more. if they're legitimately hurt, you don't want to do more. Yeah. Like,
you really are like Rhett.
There was one time where Pig was amazed, was wondering what an odd coincidence it was that somebody named Lou Gehrig would actually come down with Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
And so that made a lot of people mad. And that one I didn't see coming. Just the mere mention of the disease triggered it.
That's true, yeah.
I haven't done that since.
Because I remember reading in one of the Far Side collections where he talks about, he shows examples of all these, and it just amazes me that people have the time to sit around and get mad at a cartoonist. You know, it just is like,
do you write your senator
about stuff? I mean, come on. You know, it just seems
really
weird
do.
That you would spend this time.
The
it's
Baby
amazing.
Blues parody I did where Rhett babysits the Baby Blues kids and gets drunk and sends a kid out on a beer run, this 5-year-old kid out on a beer run. Man, did that make people mad.
Those are always my favorites of yours. I love those.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, apparently they thought I was endangering children. They couldn't distinguish between real children and pen and ink children. So.
And the other point would be that if Rat was perfectly sober, it's okay to leave your children with a rat. That's fine.
Yeah, that's absolutely just
that's
not a drunken
funny
rat.
Part. That's the funny part about that stuff. Actually, where they draw the line.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, funny. A sober rat, that's no problem. I'd leave my kids with a sober rat, but boy, a drunk rat. Didn't I see recently on Baby Blues, they had a cereal box with a crocodile on the front.
Yeah,
I thought that was nice little homage.
Yeah, I know. Both of them. They're both great guys, both Rick and Jerry. And Rick told me that was coming up, and yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that little subtle thing. I love it when they do that.
So my main question right now is, what happened to Justin?
Justin? Where the hell is Justin?
Is he still there?
Justin? I don't think he's talking. I was sitting here, we were chatting away. I was thinking, no, I haven't heard anything from Justin.
He's enjoying the conversation.
The conversation picked up so much. Yeah.
So. Justin's back.
Dude, I have no idea why that happened. I didn't press anything, nothing. It just went away.
Now, is Stefan still there?
I know. Is Stefan still there? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he is. He's probably there. He's just goofing on us. I know. So let's see. What do we leave off on? Stefan's mean. Okay. let me ask you something, Stefan. You talk about these things where your people seem to be hypersensitive about things that you just blow you away, that people call and get angry about. I mean, first of all, they're being angry about a comic strip, not to belittle what we do, but okay, let's face it. It ain't changing the world.
Right.
Do you think that this is something that's happening now, this oversensitivity, or do you think this same thing would have happened, say, 10 years ago?
That's a good question. I judging by reading the complete Far Side and reading all the complaints that he posts in there, and I swear one of the people who wrote to him in 1984 wrote to me. I think it's the same group of uptight people that have been writing for years. I think it's just a certain segment of people who, I don't know why they're so uptight. And it always makes me wonder if what they do with South Park.
Do
they just spend all the rest of their time writing to Matt Stone, if that's his name, or Trey Parker? Why me? I'm so light. But maybe they're people who don't have TV signals or anything. I don't know.
It is a very strange selective group to go after. Now, how much weight do you think the editors put on those letters?
Oh, sometimes a lot. I think my theory is if the editor is disinclined to like you, he will grab on to a couple of those, call them a ton, say, like, I'm getting a ton of complaints about this strip, and then cancel you. Conversely, if he likes you, I think you could finish dead last in a poll, and he'll find a way to keep you. So I think whatever way he's leaning, he'll use the letters that way. So, And it doesn't hurt also. It doesn't hurt to have people, like I've seen debates going on in some papers back and forth in their letters to the editor section. It doesn't hurt to be the subject of debate. I mean, any part of the paper that causes the readers to go back and forth with each other is probably, most editors are concerned, a pretty good thing. So that's not a bad place to be. What you don't want to be is the strip that gets nothing either way.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, basically.
Yeah, sometimes people write to me and they go, "Hey, you just came into my paper and you replaced a comic."
Oh.
I can't remember what comic it was. And I'm thinking, "Oh man, that poor guy. Like, they don't even remember the name of it."
Oh man. That would be terrible. Now, do you get any letters from people saying you replaced my favorite comic? You big jerk?
Yeah, I always ask that, too. In interviews, when I go into a new paper, I always ask what I'm replacing because that will determine how I'm received. Like, if it's a really popular strip, I'm doomed. I mean, they'll kill me. So,
Garfield, did you replace him in anything?
I have replaced Garfield in a few, but I don't think many papers drop Garfield. I mean,
that's a switch, huh?
It is, but I mean, it maintains its audience. I think its core is a younger group of people, so.
Mm, I agree. Yeah. That's too funny.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about what kind of artists and strips were your biggest influences when you were first starting out? I mean, you started drawing when you were in law school. I mean, what were you influenced by?
Well, I think Peanuts taught me all the primary stuff, the pacing, character development, tone. That's pretty much, that taught me the language, so to speak. Farsight taught me, I guess, what real humor is, and gave me great subject matters, you know, the animals eating each other and all that. And I think Dilbert taught me how to write a three-panel strip. So I think those three in that order were probably the biggest three comic influences on me. And I mean, everybody's influenced by Calvin and Bloom County as well, but those three were the big ones.
I think I'm really influenced by Berkeley Bread there with, you never know when the punchline is going to be in his comic strip. It may be in the third panel, maybe in the fourth. Yeah,
it's a different pacing. Get Fuzzy is the same way. The pacing
is
different.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like Get Fuzzy for that reason. It's sort of like the jokes could be all the way through it. There's just great dialogue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, is there anything in the comic strip that you don't like to draw? Like, I don't like drawing flowers in my comic strip.
Oh, man, it's easier to work the other way and say, is there anything I like to draw?
You don't like to draw?
Well, the whole thing is painful. I mean, it's hard, other than my characters. Well, yeah. Even sometimes my characters are hard for me. Like, I was a lawyer. I had no training as an artist, so I will spend a half hour on a chair.
Oh, that's funny.
And in the end, you might not be sure it's a chair.
That is so funny. Now we've got another important interview question here. If you were stranded on a desert island with the cast from Gilligan's Island, who would you stab in the face first and why? Justin told me to ask that one.
Please don't accredit these bizarre questions to me.
She was annoying. The rich guy's wife was pretty annoying.
Yeah, she was pretty bad. Lovey. Lovey is all I remember them calling her. Mrs. Howell.
I thought you'd ask me who I wanted. Don't they ask you who you want between Ginger and Marianne?
Yeah, that would have been too easy.
I think who had the mole? Was that Marianne?
Oh, Ginger.
That was Ginger.
She's the movie star.
Yeah, she's the movie star. Yeah. Yeah.
I take her even though you didn't ask me that question.
Even with the carcinoma?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think I'd have to stab Gilligan in the face myself, because every time I tried to get off the island, you know, there he would be with his monkey suit or whatever.
At least put him at a cave or something and feed him coconuts or something. Just, I don't understand these people.
How about the same question, but the cast from Lost?
I've never seen that show.
You've never seen that show? Amazing.
No. Do I need to see that?
I like it. Third season's kind of...
It's too late now.
Yeah, it's too late. Really? Yeah.
You'd have to start from scratch, and it's one of those ridiculous shows. I love it. I love it to death, but, man, you can't jump into it. Not at all.
Justin can vouch for the fact that I just watched those first episodes 1-3 of Star Wars.
That's what he was saying. That is so funny.
Yeah, Stefan and I talk, and he was telling me about that. Why don't you tell him a little bit about what you thought of that wonderful trilogy?
I told him that the acting in that first one was some of the worst acting I'd ever seen in my whole life.
It was pretty bad.
But I liked the third one. I liked the Sith one, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. It built up. I think by the third one he got his legs back. But first two, man, not so much.
Actually, in the third one he lost his legs. Isn't that the point? He got it off.
Come dragging out of the lava.
Yeah.
Love that.
That's true. Yeah, I'm way behind in cultural stuff. That's like... People write, you know, everyone writes you all the time and says, oh, you stole this joke from X, Y, or Z. 90% of the time, I have no idea what X, Y, and Z is. You know what I mean? They assume I'm attuned to the culture. I am not.
That's funny. Are you a comic book sci-fi film fan? Did you just miss Star Wars?
No, I read no comic books. I watch no sci-fi movies, nothing.
So you just sit around drawing? Man.
What do I do? I read a lot. I read a lot of history. What do I do? I know that sounds boring.
No, that's
I watch
awesome.
The Office.
That's refreshing.
Watch The Office.
Oh, you watch The Office?
I like Ricky Gervais. I think I love
Ricky Gervais.
Brilliant. But yeah, I'm pretty out of touch.
Have you seen Extras on HBO?
I did see that. I almost everything I've seen is because of Justin. Justin likes shows me everything.
Yeah, he's a junkie. Because
Extras is amazing. Without him, I wouldn't know. Yeah.
I like quality pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, I have this great Sesame Street one to show you.
Oh, you do?
I'm just kidding.
I thought maybe it's a parody or something.
What would you say your writing process is? Since you don't like to draw, you must find enjoyment somewhere. Is it in the writing?
Yeah, I love the writing. Yeah, the writing's a great part. I go I drive about a half hour east to Napa Valley, you know, like they call the wine country, and
yeah.
I get really drunk. I get really drunk, and I sit in a field, and I write till I pass out. And then in the morning, a migrant farm worker finds me. If the scribbles haven't blown away in the wind, I've got something for that wind.
The old Charles Bukowski method of our work.
Yeah.
What's great is when he's writing...
a much better story.
When he's writing for Pig, he drinks Merlot, and when he's writing for Rat, it's a sort of a Pinot Noir. So.
Well, it might have been some tequila, but whatever.
Yeah.
Hello?
Lol.
No, I'm... I'd like to call the lol.
Let's call the lol.
Every seven minutes is a lol.
No, what I do is I go to Napa Valley, I go to the same cafe, I sit there in the... in the counter that faces out towards the window, so my back is to everybody, and I put on an iPod so I can't hear the people that I can't see.
Very nice.
And I write for about 2 to 3 hours, and the cafe owners know me, and they like me, so they let me sit there.
Are you an oddity? Is that why they like you so much?
Oddity.
Yeah.
I think I am an oddity. I know that sometimes like things can distract me visually, so I will pull the brim of my cap down. Sometimes it is so low that I think my nose is in the cap.
Like, that is funny.
And so I think, God, I must look like it. There's two, like, kind of homeless freaks in there, you know, that, and I think, you know, who am I to judge?
Yeah.
For God's sake, they must look at me like, oh, my God.
And everybody else thinks there's three homeless freaks in there, so.
I think they do. They must look at me the same way I look at them. I look like an absolute, one time I was talking to the owner, and as I was talking to him, I was holding one of his glass mugs of coffee, and I said, all right, well, I got to take off, and I left. And I'm about halfway down the block, and I am still holding the glass mug that is his. And I think, oh, my God, dude, you just walked out with this coffee cup.
That is so
funny. I walked back in, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry, man. I don't know what's wrong with me. So,
I'm eccentric. How you doing? Yeah.
Someday, 100 years from now, there'll be a plaque there. Stefan Patches sat here.
I told him that. I want him to put a plaque there after I die. I'm not going to do it.
Maybe they can name a muffin after you or something.
That would be cool. A muffin would be great.
No, I'm going to put you on a spot here. What's your favorite comic strip that you read?
Favorite
Don't say Cow and Boy.
Current or old?
Right now. What's your go-to comic in the morning that you look for first?
I'd have to say Get Fuzzy. Not just because I'm friends with them. I think I would read that. I think that's the one I would always read.
Yeah, that's on my daily list, too.
But Speed Bump's pretty good, too. Speed Bump is the most underrated comic out there. I
totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, he is stunningly brilliant. Like, it is incredible. So, yeah.
F-minus is good, too. Not very well known.
Yeah, F-minus is good. That's another. Yeah.
I'll tell you who I laugh at almost on daily, and that's Soup to Nuts. I don't know why. He always seems to tickle my funny bone.
Oh, yeah, Rick Stramosky. I know Rick well. That's cool. Yeah, Rick's a good guy.
Well, there's
you ever read any web comics?
one. But I don't see it very often. Now I'm blanking on the name.
What? Is it Tree?
Wait a minute. I know this. Perry Bible Fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
That is a good one.
If that guy was syndicated, that guy would be the number one cartoonist in America. But he just can't get syndicated because I think his stuff is too edgy. But I think he's the most brilliant guy working.
So, what is your opinion of web cartoonist?
I don't know because I don't read them. I mean, I don't read them. I assume it's just like syndicated ones. There's good ones and there's bad ones, and it runs the whole gamut.
I agree, absolutely. But you, Justin, you think that's the truth?
Oh, of course. I mean, you got people just starting out, and then you've got people who've probably been doing web comics for a really long time, and you know they're going to be obviously more professionals. So, yeah, it's just everything else. There's good and bad.
It was good and bad. What do you read every day, Justin?
I read the internet, and I work on the computer, and that is it. I read a web comic called Yenny that I really like.
I've heard that.
It's a Puerto Rican comic. That's probably my favorite web comic.
You just like the girls in the shorts.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll admit that. Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. No, I think he's an amazing artist. I just love looking. I get so excited by looking at his work. He's just so great. the writing's not always there, but for me, the art's more important. I mean, everybody places importance on different things. That's one of my go-tos.
So past
I read Pearls Before Swine all the time.
Yeah, I've read that once or twice. Yeah. So, so Pastis, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I should come up with a funny answer.
Do people ask you that a lot?
That's a standard job interview question. Come on, man.
Where do I see myself in 5 years?
Face down in a vineyard, apparently.
Yeah.
So let's put it this way. If somebody asked you that 5 years ago, would you have thought you'd be where you are now?
No, no way. I mean, my goal was to have at most a couple hundred papers and to get a book out there. I remember that was my goal, and there's no way. If you said I would have been in 400 papers with 8 books or whatever there is, there's no way I would have foreseen that. So
you should plug.
It's a lot of factors. I mean, luck is a big one of them. You know, without the push from Scott, nothing would have ever happened, and then I seemed to hit it just a time where newspapers were looking for something young and edgy, and Boondocks had come out, and Fuzzy had come out, and so I sort of fit in with that genre, and so, yeah, I mean, you know, luck's a big part of it, a big part of it.
You should plug your newest book here.
My newest book is called Myth Tickle.
You bastardo!
You've insulted my Turkish heritage.
What is your latest project?
The current one is The Brotherhood of Ziba Ziba Ida. But the next one that comes out in September is called Sopratos instead of Sopranos. And it has nice. All the characters dressed up like the characters from Sopranos. So. Sopranos.
Is that the whole book?
What's that?
Is that the whole book?
The book is just basically a collection. I mean, it's just, you know, the last 9 months of the strip, but the cover is The Sopranos.
How hard are those things to put together? How much are you involved with putting the books together?
You know, I'm involved in, you can be as involved as you want to be, but I'm completely involved. I do the whole cover except for the title treatment. I usually pick what goes on the back. It was my idea to do all the comments and the band strip portion, and so... I mean, everybody's got to do a cover. At a minimum, you got to do the cover. But the other stuff you don't have to do, but I don't know. I just like to do it.
We enjoy it.
Books are pretty fun.
I love the books. That's my favorite thing. That's my favorite way to read them.
I think that's true. I think they read better that way, too.
Yeah.
I think they read better. It's so stilted to read one and then wait 24 hours and read another. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I can't wait.
Like eating a cookie with a bite and then coming back tomorrow and eating another bite.
You've mentioned a lot of different comic strip artists that obviously you know back and forth. Is the community out there pretty supportive? Is there a lot of competition? What's it like?
Among syndicated guys?
Yeah.
You know, like I'll see them all in a week. We meet annually at this thing called the Rubens Convention. It's sort of like, it's just our annual convention of syndicated guys. Yeah, this year it's in, where is it, Orlando. So we see each other once a year there, but what's surprising about the comic strip guys is, by and large, we're friends. And I say that with some surprise in my voice because it is a deadly competitive business. I can't get into a paper without taking a paper away from one of them. So you would think when we meet at this convention there'd be hatred and gunshots. I mean, maybe there is some hatred, but I haven't heard any gunshots. So.
Is this the kind of convention that fans go to as well, or is it just cartoonists alone?
It's just cartoonists, but sometimes they'll do book signings on the first day, and if that's the case, then other people will come. But they don't really publicize it, I don't think.
What's that like to like sign books after book like that? Do you ever get any weirdos?
Yeah, you definitely get weirdos.
Tell us some weirdo stories.
I want to hear weirdos.
There's one person every time who will scare you, and you will think, this is the day I die. I'm always conscious. This one image is in my head, in this one Martin Luther King biography. Most people don't know, but he was at a book signing in the 50s, and a woman, I guess, stabbed him with a penknife and almost killed him.
Man.
So every time I'm at a book signing, that is the image that's in my head.
That's funny. Man.
Now, you know, if he looks a little on edge, folks, you know why.
Yeah.
Up Approach slowly with open palms.
By and large, the rest of the people are nice. There's a lot of young kids with my strip in particular.
And a lot of angry parents.
Yeah, sometimes. There was this one woman wasn't angry, but there was a really strange one, and I just did one in the LA Times Festival of Books a couple weeks ago, and one of the women came up to me with a handful of dolls. And a book. It was the doll's book. In other words, it was their book. They owned the book. They were people.
Oh man!
She asked, "Can you sign my girl's book?"
Oh man!
And I said, "Yeah. Who are your girls?" And she said, "Right here on the table." Do I sign it to all of them, or do they have individual names?
Because I don't want to get this wrong. Because you've obviously thought this out a lot.
Oh, that was creepy. That was my penknife.
Oh.
Now, at the Reuben conventions, do you guys kind of pair off, like some of the older cartoonists pair off together and the younger cartoonists kind of hang together? Or you guys all just kind of mingle together?
Yeah, it crosses everything. Like, I mean, you wouldn't guess it, but I'm friends with the Keens, you know, the guys who do the Family Circus. So they're great. I'm friends with Dan Pararo, who does Bizarro, and Dave Coverley, who does Speed Bump, and the Zip guys and the Babe Blues guys. And
yeah.
It really crosses. I mean, I don't know any of the soap opera people, the
Mary Worth and those kind of guys.
Yeah, I don't know any of them, but
they're not real cartoonists. We don't talk to them.
Those are the only ones I haven't met, but the rest of them I know, and yeah, everybody is surprisingly cool. I mean, it would really, given how competitive this is, it's pretty amazing.
So, how intimidating was it for you that first year that you went to that?
That was pretty intimidating because that was.
I can
especially
imagine.
The first year. The first year was in New York City, and everybody was there.
Yeah.
And I had just, I hadn't even started yet. I was signed, but I wasn't in paper. So
yeah.
Who is this guy?
It was pretty scary. It was pretty scary meeting everybody. So,
yeah. Who was you most looking forward to meeting that first year? Do you remember?
Who was I most looking for? I wanted to meet Aaron, the guy who does Boondocks, because nobody had met him. He had never gone to anything before, and so I got to meet him. And so, for one brief moment, Darby and me and Aaron were together at a table, and I was nobody. I hadn't started. Aaron was the man of the moment, and Darby had just gotten launched, and we got to talk a little bit. But that's the only time, and I'm sure Aaron doesn't remember it. But,
But you will remember it always, right?
Is he coming back at all? I mean, he's still on hiatus, right?
Yeah, I don't. As far as I know, he's not. I think he's doing the show now.
Because I thought it was like going to be 6 months, and now it's like forever. I think
they announced he's basically doing a show. So
wow.
Yeah.
No, I read in one of your books that you met Charles Schulz way back before he became. Yeah.
What's that?
Before he became a cartoonist, or before you became syndicated.
Yeah, when I was a lawyer, I just took a day off of work and I drove an hour north and heard that he had his breakfast every morning at the Ice Arena, and so I went up there and it really sounds, when I recount it, it really sounds so close to stalking. It's ridiculous. I mean,
did you bring your dolls?
To know what time somebody eats a certain meal. Oh, my gosh. I feel like that woman who hunted down Selena or whatever her name was. Her name was that singer. Like, that sounds so creepy.
I knew you'd be here.
That's what I did. Yeah. I stalked him. And I met him here at the arena.
You showed up and here's your Danish.
Yeah, he did. He talked to me for like an hour. He was very cool. He was really...
That's awesome.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I regret that I'll never get a chance to talk to him, but that's just incredible.
Yeah,
every young cartoonist, I think, probably wishes they could have met him, so I really...
Now, do you give back to the community like Sparky did? Because, I mean, he was a giver. Yeah, I know. I don't give crap. I just take.
That was
zero. Zero.
I suspect
the strip, I go back home.
We may have lost Justin again.
Oh, no, really? Ah, oh, crap.
Can you guys edit this? Can you take out these?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to edit all this crap. Okay. It'll sound seamless, like we didn't have any problems at all.
Actually, we're going to turn it into an interview with Burke Breathed, actually.
And now we're talking to the creator of Burke Breathed.
That's cool.
Have you met him before?
Yes, I met him. We were on a panel together in New Orleans. He was really cool.
What kind of panel? It was an AA meeting, wasn't it? Just go ahead and admit it.
was at an editor's conference, and that was crazy. That was the guy. The boy, talking about being intimidated.
Oh man, I can't imagine.
Oh man, I would tremble. I think.
Yeah, you grew up.
I really lucked out too, because he gave me a strip of original Bloom County.
Really? Wow, yeah. Man, the Holy Grail. I love it.
I know.
How often?
Go ahead.
How often do you go to these kind of things? I mean, is it a pretty busy schedule to go to conventions and editors' boards and stuff? Or?
You know, I used to do it a lot more, but now it's just the Rubens once a year, and even that I missed the last 2 years.
Does the syndicate require you to do a certain amount of them?
They don't require. You can do as much or as little as you want. I mean, it's really fun when you do it at first, but it's not so fun later on. I mean, you kind of get used to it. Like, you know, it's a neat thing at first because you realize there are people out there reading the strip, but then once you realize that, it's not quite
once you realize they're
anymore.
Insane, yes. And they have dolls that they want you to
see. I mean, all I really
want
to do is stay home and do the strip. Like, I think I'm too much of a homebody.
So you say South Carolina, it doesn't have a very deep penetration for pearls from first wine. What is your biggest state?
That's a good question. It would have to be the
California.
Coast.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Yeah, it would have to be the coast. I mean, I'm in pretty much all of the large papers. I mean, I'm in all of the top 50. Are you here, Justin?
He was, and then he held it remotely.
He was.
Don't ask me why.
I'm in almost all the big ones now, but it took a while. I mean, I'm 5 years into it before I could say that. So, cool. And the last to fall, I think, were a lot of the ones in the South. You know, I just got Louisville, and
over here on the South. Yeah. So,
it's funny. It does seem to work from the coast in, so to speak. Yeah. But then there's some papers like St. Louis or Atlanta or Chicago that are great about picking up new strips. So.
Yeah.
Are you overseas at all? Or
it's in India, and it's in all the Scandinavian countries.
Now, do they translate those? Or
They do. India, they don't. It's in English. But the Scandinavian countries all translate it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's funny.
Is it just as funny in the...
The Canadianese. I think the Canadianese translate it. They put an A after every sentence. Yeah. G-H, question mark.
The Norwegians have a lot of J's in there.
It is funny to see it. I've seen it translated. I have these books where it's in Portuguese, which is pretty cool to look at. German, I have them in German.
Justin is now back.
I believe I am. I don't know.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys probably need to wrap it up fairly quick.
Yeah, exactly right. We got about another 4 minutes or so. And got any more questions, Justin?
No, I think that all of my questions that I'm going to come up with will happen probably after we finish this call.
Yes.
So, I'll save them for the next guest.
All right, go through my questions real quick, make sure you don't have anything.
I was going to ask very quickly, was Pearls your first submission? Did you have to submit different things, or did you only do it the one time and get picked up?
It was my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th.
Wow.
I submitted two strips with Rat in it that were both rejected. I submitted one with about a law firm, which was rejected. One called Bradbury Road about a little kid that was rejected. And then I think Pearls was the 5th.
So, wow, that's great.
Now, do you plan on putting those in any of the collections eventually? Give us a little peek into what happened?
I have snuck a few of them into the intros to the Treasury. But, yeah, I probably will put them in somewhere. I mean, they're just so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
that's what makes
bad.
Them so good.
I think that they might be so bad they're good at this point. I think really bad crosses through into really good. I think the continuum is a big circle. If really bad is right next to really good. So, yes, I think you're right.
I was also going to ask you, I read somewhere where Charles Schulz hated the name Peanuts, and because the syndicate chose it for him. Did you choose Pearls Before Swine, or did they host anything on you?
I did, and I don't know how I came up with it. It's the one part of the story I never... I remember sitting around one day trying to come up with foods that are pig-based, you know, like sausage and everything, and then I hit swine while I was doing that, and then expressions involving swine, and I was a big Hunter Thompson fan, and he used the word swine a lot, generation of swine, and I like the word, and so it just, the phrase hit me, the phrase is from the Bible, and it seemed to fit the strip, because, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine, don't waste your wisdom on those who don't understand it, and in my case, that's Rat, and he thinks everything he says is wasted on pigs. So.
That's great.
So it seemed to fit, yeah.
Do you read a lot of Hunter Thompson?
I do. I've probably read everything he's written, I think.
Is he your favorite author? Do you have a favorite author?
I was a huge Vonnegut fan for years. I read tons of Vonnegut. I like Fitzgerald. I like, what else do I like? Hunter Thompson is great. Gosh, I read a lot of stuff. Right now, Robert Caro is my man of the hour. He writes biographies, mostly of Lyndon Johnson. But, I read a lot. A big Hemingway fan. There's another one. I love Hemingway.
Now, Tom had asked me a question earlier I thought was a very interesting question. If you were to have your cast animated, what voice actors do you see for Rat and Pig?
You know, there's only one I know, and for Rat, I think it would be, what's that guy's name that used to do the promos for MTV, which smokes and he says, I'm not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Matt Penfield?
Dennis Leary.
What's his name?
Dennis Leary or Matt Penfield?
Dennis Leary. Yeah. I hear that sort of gruff voice for, Rat.
Yeah.
But for Pig, I sort of hear, he'd be tough to cast because he's dead now, but I sort of hear the John Candy role in National Lampoon's The First Vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when they show up at Wally World?
Yeah.
John Candy walks out?
Oh.
Yeah, and he says, "Hello, it's a wonderful day." You know, that's
yeah.
I sort of hear Pig that way. Sort of
I don't think he'd be that sweet. I don't think he'd be that hard to get. I think his schedule's wide open right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's bad. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap it up.
All right.
Thank you, Stefan, for being on the show with us. We appreciate it.
That was really cool of you, Stefan. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very
much.
That
was fun. I'm a swinging the ass to the slaughterhouse this time. I'm never no more casting my pearls before swine.